We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another serious warning which you've given us in your word. I pray that you give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 17, 31 and 32, remember Lot's wife. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. The word remember is a very important word in the scripture. There are, if we're counting correctly, 148 hits in the King James translation, plus various forms of the word. And any word that's used 148 times is important. We look at different ways that the word remember is used and different situations in which it occurs. There are days in our own lifetime that we remember. Many of them have to do with good times. Birthdays would be a good example. We celebrate them every year. And we remember. And usually get presents and cake and ice cream. That's not bad. We remember the birth of Christ every Christmas. And pleasant memories of the manger at Bethlehem, and also memories of opening presents under the tree on the day of Christmas. And some even push that up a little bit, feeling that the day begins at 12:01 in the morning, and sneak on and find the presents under the tree and open them up to make sure they know what they're going to get. And then they pack them away again and redo them and get back in bed. And in the morning, when they open them up, pretend to be surprised. That happens. We remember bad times, too. If you're a kindergartner and you get locked in a dark closet, you don't forget that. You remember that. The word remember in the Gospels, we think of Matthew chapter 16, verse 9. We're doing a little word study here. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? The disciples are worried about not having anything to eat. And only a short time ago, the Son of God had fed more than 5,000 men, plus women and children, having only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And everyone ate until they were full. Nobody walked away empty. How could you forget that? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the loaves of the 5,000? We should remember things like this. Remember things that Christ has done in Scripture and things that he's given us and good things that have happened, and he's the same God. He doesn't miss anything. We think of Matthew chapter 27, verse 63. This is interesting. Children of the devil remember also. They came to Pilate. Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. And even though they popped corks on the champagne bottles, and were having a big party out of it, they suddenly remembered that they hadn't won anything yet. Because he had said, I'm going to rise again on the third day. We remember that. Well, they should. So they tried to defend against it, and Pilate gave them a battalion of soldiers to go out to the tomb and sit there all night to make sure that the disciples didn't come and steal him away while they slept. We think of Luke 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. The children down in hell are going to do a lot of remembering. And as they obey the final command of Jesus, probably the only command he gave that they ever obeyed in their life, but they obeyed this one, and the command was, depart from me. And they're going to remember all the chances that they had. It didn't have to end this way. But they hated the Son of God. And the rich man down in hell is remembering some things too. We think of Luke 23, verse 42, still in the Gospels. And he said unto Jesus, and you'll know the context. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Spoken by the thief on the right hand of Jesus, he was crucified with Christ, moments away from death, and the Holy Spirit worked faith in his heart when he listened to what Jesus was saying on the cross and what his enemies were saying against him. And Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's a good prayer. And the answer was, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We should remember this. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit. Here was a guy that probably had only one chance in his life, and the Holy Spirit used it. So, okay, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of man, lest any man should boast. And the thief on the cross, how many good works had he done in his lifetime? But that's not what it's all about. When the question was asked, what should we do that we might work the works of God? The answer was, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It all starts with that. Faith in the Son of God. Contrast was the Pharisee. God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are. And then parade his good works, what he thought were good works, and God didn't receive any of them. Out at the tomb on Easter morning, Luke 24, verse 6, he is not here, but he is written. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Over and over and over and over again. Every time he mentioned he was going to suffer and die, he ended with, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. Why didn't they remember that? We should remember that always. Remember that. We're worshiping a risen Christ, not a dead one. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. Well, what were they supposed to remember? And this is in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, pretty close to the crucifixion scene. And the Son of God said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So we're supposed to remember when we are suffering that Christ told us this was going to happen. And when the suffering comes, it doesn't cause us to doubt Scripture. It causes us to believe it all the more, because this is exactly what Scripture says. Christ didn't hide this in the fine print. There are tremendous blessings that we get through our suffering. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want us to have these blessings. And so when they come, remember, this is what Jesus said would happen, and your faith is going to be strengthened. John 16, verse 4, still in the gospel so many times, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not at the beginning, because I was with you. So the disciples didn't do a whole lot of suffering when Jesus was with them. But after he left, they did. And then they were supposed to remember. This is what he told them. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. He brings Scripture to our remembrance when we need it. And he will do that for you and for me also. Think of examples in your own life. And if we would take the time, the sermon would last all day. If we'd go around and have every one of you take the floor here and tell us some things that you remember in Holy Scripture that the Holy Spirit brought back to you when you needed them. We should do a lot more remembering than what we actually do. And it wouldn't be a bad thing to take an hour every week. We can all spare that and remember some of these things from Holy Writ. Examples in your own life. And one that many can relate to, one of our favorite passages, really, when you consider the context of it, John 16, verse 21. John 16, verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a child is born into the world. So there are some things we're not supposed to remember. And sadly, probably most of us are guilty of remembering these hard times, which we call hard times. We shouldn't. We really shouldn't. The mother doesn't remember the sorrow of her birth pangs once she's holding the child in her arms. And we should remember this. Some things don't remember. Remember no more. And we think of, I reckon, this for all of us. Romans 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And when we stand at the resurrection day And the Son of God comes back in all of his glory. And the wedding bells are ringing. And we as his bride approach the marriage altar with bodies that are like unto his in all of his glory. We're not going to remember any of the sufferings that we went through. It was all more than worth it. So, we're looking now at three little words, which just might be the most pressing warning that the Son of God has given us. And he gave us many. This might be the most serious one that he's ever given. And it's aimed at your heart and mine. The point is, we walk in danger all the way. And it's not going to stop until we enter the grave or Christ comes back first. So death is the gateway into eternal glory. No more suffering after that. No more danger after that. But until then, we're surrounded by wicked spirits. Very, very powerful enemies, led by the devil himself. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. His name is Lucifer. We know him well. And his wicked angels are legion. And then this is why Christ says, have no thought for the morrow. Well, why not? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't worry about how you're going to fight the battle tomorrow. You may not get there. You worry about how you're going to fight the battle today. Today is the last day of your life, the most important day of your life. If you live another day, then that's going to be the most important. The day that we're under attack, and this happens all the time. So three words, and you'll never forget them. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what are we supposed to remember about her? Well, she was turned into a pillar of salt, and remember that. Yeah, but consider the context of it. She was Lot's wife. And Lot was a believer. And even though he was living in the midst of Sodom, which was filthy, he was vexed every day with the way he was, the place he was living in. He should have moved out, but he didn't. But he was vexed at it. And she was Lot's wife. She was the closest one to him. And there was no one in the world closer to Lot than his wife was. Remember that. What an advantage that was. Nobody else in the world had this advantage that they were Lot's wife. That's the first thing. Second thing, she was warned about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by two angels. Two of them. She knew in her mind what nobody else in that area knew. She knew it. She didn't believe it. There's a big difference between knowledge and faith. She had the knowledge. And she knew what the angel said. And the angels talked with her for probably her and Lot and her two daughters for most of the night. These two angels. She knew what few others knew. And the others, they knew, they had lived during the day, and then the night came, and the beautiful moon rose, and probably not a cloud in the sky. Stars were shining brightly, an end of another pleasant day for them. And then they fell into sleep, figuring that tomorrow the sun is going to rise again, it's going to be another beautiful day, and we can live it. That's what they thought. It didn't look like anything bad was going to happen. So the angels were spent the night in her house, and what do you think they were talking about? It's not hard to figure. When the sun rose and Lot was procrastinating, and his wife was too, and the angel said, "You gotta go, you gotta leave. Hurry, hurry. This is urgent." And they knew that. And one of the angels grabbed her by the hand and pulled her out of the house. There weren't very many people that had that advantage. Lot had it. His two daughters had it. There were two angels, so there were four hands, and each hand grabbed one of the four in that house and pulled them out of the house. Very, 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 very few people had that. Remember Lot's wife. Remember all the advantages she had. She was running towards safety beside her husband. Who else had that advantage? But she looked back. She looked back. And they were commanded, don't look back. Well, why would she look back? Well, if what the angel said was true, if the city was going to be destroyed by fire and brimstone, then running to the mountains would be better than that, if that's the only two choices she had. But what if it wasn't true? Seeing is believing. And what did she see? A sun shining on a beautiful, cloudless day. It didn't look like anything was going to happen. And she had a lot back at that house that she loved. She was living for the world. Her heart was never right in the first place. And the Lord God is a man of war. The Lord knows how to deliver his own out of temptation, but he also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. And no child of the devil is going to make it into the kingdom of glory. Christ is going to, the Heavenly Father is going to see to that. No enemy of his son is going to be in the eternal glory. So she looked back. Didn't take very long. A split second. But that's all it took. That's all it took. Her heart was wrong. So really, this wasn't much of a surprise. This didn't happen just at one time. Her heart was wrong through the whole time. She never was one of God's elect in the first place. This can't be done in one day. It's a lifelong process. Meditating upon the Word of God day and night, praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's the way it's done. She didn't do that. We've got a picture in the bulletin. Some people feel that that pillar of salt there is the remains of Lot's wife. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Who knows? But it sure is a reminder. It's in the same area. There are other pillars out there too. But this one seems to stand out especially. And when you look at that and you remember Lot's wife, all she gave up and lost it. She lost everything right at the last minute. So remember Lot's wife. These three words have saved souls.